And the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Join Pastor Karen Wee Damilola Gabriel of Menorah School of the Spirit World as he heralds the revelation of the gospel of the kingdom and intimacy with the Godhead. Be blessed as you listen.
That the word of the Lord will find free course in our midst. That the word of the Lord will find expression in our midst. That life will break out. Life will be released. In the name of our Lord Jesus. Pande koveria tombre hastes uzia talabastes. Kende gobra hasti gombile sufria kabiston dena clarte zozie tamande. Mandre koshi cloveria te kosi brehete gavastes. Mind don grofis adre kumbena katubri I kalabasto siye kambolu vai. Igra don si kovende proto bali kumbena skofinam pruti agataso siye le kamboneda. O le goroto si bungria pange tombri itolu bricum baske pamberie tombi le kuba. Pray wherever you are. This prayer is very important. And as you are praying, invite friends, invite family. Ensure you are sharing the broadcast to all platforms. Alright, we are going to enjoy God this evening by the word of the living God. And please, if you are on the page, don't be silent. Let's see your comment. Let's see your replies. Madoros kobirian de kombestalia grekobrihistan zizuate. That God's word will find free course in our midst. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That the word of the Lord will be amplified. That God's word will be amplified. That God's word will be revealed. That God's word will be revealed. In the name of Jesus. This is our heart desire, O God. That every heart will be blessed. That every heart will be supernaturally blessed. In the name of our Lord Jesus. Mambro convens tobli ikam bon shakli kadozuzie tele baratosia. Abregedon supreti de gonsi fanam brunto. Mengriti su talibrun do kubesta nagabe dosile paradon shiko belahande. Woo! Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We bless you, Abba Father.
Se lale ale ko venia na candele ni sobele ko finandela abile ko mania liale samena ni ki kur sumene ni kave ale Senaniki Sumaniane Saminiko Manateleo Sabeneniko
Sabado Kumbesi Zoapela Varu Tambela. Thank you, Father. Your name alone be praised. Your name alone be glorified. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. And let the people of God say a wonderful amen. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus forevermore. We want to make welcome everyone in the Lord's name. We bless God for His faithfulness and for keeping us safe. Even in the midst of the Ula Balu and what have you, everything going on. We know of a surety that the believers are going to prevail and this country would operate within the corridors of God's ordination. That's our heart desire, that the ordination of God over this country would find expression. It would definitely find expression, irrespective of what might be going on. We are so sure that God's ordination, God's reality, God's design for this country will begin to unfold, to begin to find expression. And the Lord will be unseating the citadel of evil. The Lord will be unseating the citadel of evil. The canopy, the blanket of the evil one shall be torn. As righteousness, justice, equity, and fairness will operate maximally in this country. Because we are going to be known again for the righteous nation. Open the gate that the righteous nation shall come in. Open the gate that the righteous nation shall come in. This will be the order of the day in this country again. It might be gradual. It might not be instantaneous. But definitely, this reality will unfold in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. All right, welcome. Welcome, everybody. Welcome, everybody. Please do well to invite others. Ensure that you share the broadcast. Ensure that you share it. Invite friends. Invite family. All right, let everyone be part of this amazing Bible study. I'm sure that many of us who have been following from the inception, you're always eager to listen more and more because the Lord has been dealing with us and His words has been amazing. You know, we have done, this is the part 4 or thereabout, and we have not left verse 1 of Ephesians chapter 1. That's what we are still looking at. The verse 1 is what we are still looking at, and a lot of burdens began to arise in our hearts. Alright, so that's why I want to employ everyone not to miss this, any session of this Bible study. I want to employ everyone. I want to crave our indulgences. Not to miss any portion, any segment of the Bible study. As the Lord will begin to unfold His reality unto us in measures, in beats, in tidbits, in dimensions. And please open your heart and pay attention. Ensure that you are following closely as we seek to unveil the reality of God as touching the book of Ephesians. But last week, we began to check the burden that the Lord placed so strongly upon our heart. And many persons might not know the reason why I had to do a lot of exegesis on the reality of Jesus as a man. All right? On the reality of Jesus as a man. Alright. You see, if you don't understand that Jesus, even though God became man, alright, we might not really appreciate the potency of the finished work of Christ. Alright, we might not really appreciate the condescension, how that God could condescend so low to identify with mortality. God could condescend so low to identify with men. It is an amazing revelation. And I want us to take this revelation with utmost priority and reverence. And reverence, because this is the way we can truly appreciate the work of Jesus, that immortality associated with mortality. And when Jesus became man, Jesus decided to remain man, even when he was glorified. All right, he became a glorified man. Hallelujah. So it's an amazing revelation that we must try to peruse and look into very critically, how that Jesus identified with everything called man. The Bible says to us, just pay attention, we are going to get into the book of Ephesians, but I want us to look into this very briefly, and so that I can cement what I started the last meeting. Alright, so Jesus, when God placed the man Adam in the garden, we all know the story, that the man insurrected, he rebelled against God, and by way of rebellion, he was excommunicated from the God life, from the reality of God, and so he was no longer a part and parcel of the progressive investment of God that God intended that was going to be supplied in its fullness into him. Adam boycotted that process. Adam, he shortchanged it. Adam interrupted that process by way of sin, by way of rebellion. Alright? And according to the law in the spirit, that if a man insurrected, a man will find remedy. If a man rebelled, it is a man that will also find the remedy of the rebellion. Angels will not do it for man. That's a law in the spirit. That's a law in the spirit. That if a man rebelled against God, the remedy, the cure of that rebellion, we have to come by man. That's scripture. Alright, if you read Romans chapter 5, you will understand what I'm saying. Romans chapter 5, the Bible says in verse 12 that wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Are you following me? As by one man sin entered into this world, and since sin came into this world by a man, alright, it will also be that if sin is going to leave this world, or if men are going to be forgiven, it has to be by the forgiveness of a man. And that man will be a perfect man. Hallelujah. Are we together? Alright. So, the Bible says in verse 17 of the same Romans chapter 5, it says, if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall also reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Are you seeing this? Verse 18, therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification. So if man fell, man is supposed to be the remedial reality. Man has to be the remedy. That's what I'm trying to say. Man has to be the remedy. So if Jesus is going to be the remedy to the issue of sin, it is designed that he will become a man. Are we together? He will become a man, because as spirit, he will not be able to remedy the carnage, the issue that has plagued humanity. He will not be able to remedy the issue of sin, the issue of sickness, the issue of all manner of challenges. So Jesus had to become a man. And when I say he became a man, he didn't become Superman. He became a man. Because if he was a Superman, Jesus wouldn't be able to remedy us in this issue, in the issue of sin. Because what God was looking for is someone that we identify with men, that we identify with mortality, that we identify with the reality of sin, even though he is not sinful. Oh God, are you following me? But if we identify with the reality of sin, even though he is not sinful, all right? When God created Adam, God didn't create Adam to sin. Adam was at the state of innocence. So, it's not God who designed Adam to sin at all. It was the choice of Adam to fall into sin. So, at the inception, Adam was not sinful. It was his decision that turned him to a sinner. Oh God, Mande Kosisia. Are you following me? In the same vein, Jesus is not sinful. Alright? He was not carrying sin. Sin was not in his nature. But for him to be able to remedy men from the issue of sin, we have to identify with their sickness. If we identify with their sin, so the Bible says was that he who knew no sin, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 21, he who knew no sin became sin that we might become the righteousness of God. He who knew no sin became sin that we might become the righteousness of God. So Jesus had to become sin, though he's not sinful. All he did was to put all our sins, all our sicknesses upon himself. Alright? And he did all of those empowered by the Holy Spirit. When Jesus walked the earth, he walked the earth empowered of God. That's why the Bible says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good. So, how did he do good? By the empowerment of the Holy Ghost. It was by the empowerment that he went about doing good and healing them that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Alright, I would like to show us scriptures to understand what I'm trying to communicate this evening before we delve critically into the book of Ephesians, just like we started. Alright. I want us to look into John chapter 17. I told us we are going to begin with John chapter 17 today. Alright, I want to see how Jesus condescended so low, oh Zovia, to identify with men. It's amazing. It's a mystery that we cannot truly fathom, that God will become man and we identify with mortality. That God would walk the street. That God would walk the street of Jerusalem. Alright? And he was walking the street of Jerusalem just like a man. Are we following me? Is it clear to us? John 17. John chapter 17. Alright. So, let's start from verse 4. Let's start from verse 4. Someone says it's breaking. Is that true? Please, let me get feedback. John chapter 17 from verse 4. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. This is Jesus speaking. This is Jesus speaking when Jesus was about going to the cross. Alright? This was his speakings, express speakings. Verse 5. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had, somebody say I had, with the glory which I had. Can you imagine Jesus saying that he had a glory? Oh, this is amazing. We are all English students and we know what that means. That this is past tense. Jesus was saying to us that as he walked the earth, there was something that didn't walk the earth with him in the fullness of it. Oh God, oh God, oh God. In the fullness of it, he says, I had with thee before the world was. I had with thee. Jesus is saying to the Father, to God the Father, he says, and now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self. So Jesus was reaching out to something here that he left. Oh God. There was something that Jesus left while he condescended so low to identify with mortal men. And now, when Jesus was about finishing his work, he was now laying claim to that which he had. This is saying to us expressly that there was something that he was laying claim on. That there was something I had with you. There was a glory. There was a reality that I had. But I decided to leave it and identify with men. But now that I'm about to finish the work, I want to lay claim on it. I want to lay claim again. Because it's my reality. Are we getting this very clearly? Are we getting this very clearly? Jesus is saying, glorify thou me with thine own self. Jesus is saying to God that, glorify me with yourself. So if Jesus is saying, glorify me with yourself, what's he saying? When we look at God, God is immortal. Is an immortal entity. God is an immortal entity. God cannot die. Even if you attempt it, it does not have the facility, the capacity to die. Are you following me? And so Jesus is saying, glorify me with thine own self. That means Jesus left immortality. Oh God. And he became man. And by becoming man, he now has the capacity to die. Oh God. I just believe this is going to enter into our stream, our fabric, every of our system. See, the only reason why Jesus could die literally was because he became a man. He became a man. And it is appointed unto men to die once. And so the fact that he became a man means that death can have authority over him. And this only happened because he left the state of glory. He left the state of immortality. And he identified with us. It's an amazing revelation. You see how God so loves us? How God so loves us that our own God was walking on the street and mortal men began to beat him. Mortal men were scourging him. Mortal men placed a thorn of arm upon him. The God that became a man. I'm sharing this so that you will know what Jesus did for us. Many don't really appreciate what Jesus did because we only talk about the side of his divinity. We don't remember to talk of the side of his humanity. What he went through, what he did to ensure that we are all called unto glory, that we now become sons of God. It's an amazing revelation that we have to really lay hold on. Alright, so that we understand what I'm trying to share with you. Let me show you one other scripture that also confirms what I'm trying to share with us this evening. Are we getting blessed already? Thank you, Lord. Jesus is faithful. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Jesus is faithful. Philippians chapter 2. And from verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God. Did you see that? Jesus being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. That this is Jesus. This is the writer of Philippians, Apostle Paul, saying to us that Jesus was in the form of God, all right, and he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. That means there was equality with God. That means you cannot separate God, Christ, and the Holy Ghost, Trinity. They are one. All right. So the writer of Philippians began to say to us that Jesus, though equal with God, though he was in the form of God, all right, but verse 7, he said, but, can you see this? Can you see this? But, let me read that to you again so that you understand. Verse 6, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but, and when you see but introduced, that means something else is happening. Hear what transpired after the but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. So Jesus, though he was in the form of God, though he was equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation, number one, and took upon him. So he left that form of God and took upon himself the form of a servant. And so that you understand what that means, and was made in the likeness of men. Oh, glory to God. And was made in the likeness of men. He left his glory. He left the form of God that he is. And he took on the form of men. He took on the likeness of men. Oh, I will show you the reason why he had to do that. Because we must understand laws in the spirit. I will show you the reason why he had to do that, and I will show you from scriptures. You see, one of the reasons is because Jesus wouldn't have been able to redeem us without becoming a man. And by becoming a man, he will identify with all that man is or men are. Hallelujah. Alright? So Jesus, let me show you, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Verse 8. Here, verse 8. Amazing. And being found in fashion as a man. The word of God is perfect. The word of God is complete. The word of God is powerful. And being found. You see, we should not miss this Bible study. Just invite friends and family. It's going to be amazing. And being, in case you are trying to argue it, that he was not born as a man, or he was not in the womb of a Virgin Mary, and was born as a man, he's trying to emphasize to us that he, and being found in fashion, that means the way it was fashioned, is fashion, is design, is fabrication, is as a man. As a man. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That means all that the writer of Philippians was talking to us about from verse 6 to verse 8 is that he was showing us Jesus when he walked the earth as a man. Because he began to talk about the cross. So, it means that the life of Jesus when he walked the earth and the life after resurrection has different impact. So there's the life on the earth and there's the life after resurrection. Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory to Jesus forevermore. There's the life on the earth. When he walked the earth, there's the life. Alright? And remember, when 1 John was speaking to us, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 17 or so, right? It says, as he is in heaven, so are we on earth. As he is. Notice it didn't say as he was. So, what was he saying? That when Jesus resurrected, it was the life of resurrection that he gave unto us. Not just the life on the earth. The life at resurrection. Because death could not hold him down. Alright? And that only happened after resurrection. Please follow very carefully as we are going to understand my contemplation this evening. Alright? Glory to God. Now, let's see what happened. Let's see what happened after he became humble unto death, even the death of the cross. Verse 9, the Bible now says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name. Oh my. Oh my. This is after death and resurrection. God hath highly exalted him. What does that mean? He has now transited back into the state of glory, into the state of immortality. What he left, he has now become it again. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. How I wish that we are getting these things and is finding expression within our essence. God also hath highly exalted. Listen, this is the stage Adam was supposed to get to that he truncated. Like I said to some of us, that hope you are aware that if Adam was able to finish the design of God in Eden, we wouldn't need Jesus to come. But because he truncated that process, there was no way he could arrive at being highly exalted. Oh God. Ambre sofinan cardiastosia. He could not. This is the stage Adam was supposed to get to. It's called the stage of fullness. The stage of fullness. Just like Jesus. The Bible says that, for it pleased the Father that in him should all the fullness of the Godhead dwell bodily. All the fullness. So Adam couldn't get to the stage of fullness. But Jesus, by becoming a man and identifying with mortality, he overcame sin, he overcame death, he overcame everything. So what God did to him was that it was God who also exalted him and giving him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Hallelujah. This is powerful. Alright, so let me show you Hebrews chapter 2. Just to explain more and better and for clarity purposes. Hebrews chapter 2. Hey, thank you, Lord. You see, when we understand many of these things as believers, we are going to live a life that is full of triumph. A life. That's why when we call for Bible study like this, people should be eager to be a partaker, because the Lord intends to reveal His heart to us. Alright? I want to say to us, brethren, that there are a lot that we don't know yet. Even the teacher. There are a lot that we don't know. There are a lot that the Lord locks up in His word that we are supposed to unravel on daily basis. On daily basis. And this is what we call revelation. This is what we call revelation knowledge. Because as we give ourselves constantly to God's word, you will see that every iota of ignorance, distortion will be shattered. We are not going to be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. We know our right in God. We know our reality in God's word. Why? Because we are given perpetually to the accurate knowledge of scriptures, accurate knowledge of the word of God. That's our reality. That's our vindication from every holocaust of darkness. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 2. Let me show you the reality of Jesus and why He had to condescend so low to partake of humanity. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 2. We are going to begin from verse 13. Hebrews 2 from verse 13. If you are following me, shout glory. Abodo suprehenda katadesh. Paradas kozietale bon kobedastome. If you are following me, shout glory. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 13. If you are there, let's read together. And again I will put my trust in Him. And again, behold, I and the children which God has given me. Verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood. Oh, ooh, glory to God. My spirit is alert. Because I love this word. The Bible says, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood. Who are the children here? We are the children. We are the children. It says, as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He also, that He there is Jesus. He also Himself likewise took part of the same. So, Jesus took part of flesh and blood.
Oh, glory to God.
Are you seeing this yourself? This is God's word, breathed by the Holy Ghost, inspired by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Of course, you know that spirits don't have blood. I'm sure you know that. Spirits don't have blood. So the Bible says, let me read that again. Oh, glory to God. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He also Himself likewise took part of the same. The same means that He also partook of humanity. He partook of flesh and blood. That through death He might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Are you seeing this? So Jesus identified with flesh and blood for one purpose, is so that he might die. Because, listen, the highest currency of the devil is death. The best the devil can do to any man is to kill the man. That's his last card. His last card is death. The devil cannot do beyond death. So, when we saw this in the spirit, when heaven saw this, alright? When heaven saw this, heaven came to remedy that situation. Alright? So that the way the devil has been killing men and seeing their end will no longer continue. Because the design of God is that we live an immortal life. Okay? Is that men will live forever. Oh, that's the design of God. That man will not die. Alright? What brought about death was sin. And you know what the Bible says? The Bible says that the soul that sinneth shall die. Ezekiel chapter 18, maybe verse 4 or so. The soul that sinneth shall die. And so in Romans chapter 3, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. So, we know that what sin came to do was to crystallize death or to precipitate death. Alright? And we need to solve this situation. We need to remedy it. We need to find a cure that will restore men back into their ordination in God. And that wouldn't happen without... And so, Jesus, even though he was immortal, he condescended so low to identify with mortality, to identify with men. Alright? And the purpose is so that what the devil has been using to boast over humanity, alright? Because he has seen the death of a lot of patriarchs. He has seen the death of a lot of men who represented God in their day. He saw their end. Alright? But he never knew that there's still a facility in God by which even though man dies, they could still come back to life by way of resurrection. So that men will not begin to live forever. So that even though they go into the grave, alright, there's still a facility in God by which this same man who lived for God on earth and went into the grave and were held captive by the enemy. Because everyone who came before Jesus came and who lived for God, they were held captive by the enemy. Alright? None of them could ascend into heaven. None of them. Because nobody could have gone to God except by way of Jesus' coming. And so Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man comes to the Father except by me. So there was no way Abraham could have gone to the Father. There was no way Moses could have gone to the Father. There was no way David could have gone to the Father. The devil held them captive. Because by killing them, by seeing their end, alright, he thought that was all there is. Not knowing that There is a hidden mystery in God. Oh, glory to Jesus. The mystery of resurrection. The mystery of life eternal. The mystery of immortality. That was what the devil didn't know. And so, the only way the transition into that life is by death. And so, for that to be achieved, Jesus identified with mortality so that he will die. Alright? And when he dies, he will retrieve the power from him who had the power of death. And by so doing, that was why when Jesus was speaking in Revelation chapter 1, He says, I am he that was dead, but now I'm alive forevermore. And I have the keys of hell and of death. Are you following me? And I have the keys of hell and of death. Jesus wouldn't have been able to retrieve that reality except by way of death. That was what Adam left. And so for us to remedy that situation, God, we have to become man. And he will become man after the similitude of Adam. And that's why Jesus was called the last Adam. Please follow me. I will show you something now when I'm done with this passage of scripture. I will also show you another scripture. You see, that's why I love the word of God so much. And I ensure that I show you everything from the pages of scriptures that you will see it by yourselves. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus forevermore. So, Jesus, for him to remedy sin, for him to remedy death, he will have to identify with men. And so that he will die, and by way of his death and resurrection will be the window by which men who are dead will also rise unto their ordination in God. And that was why when Jesus died on the cross, Matthew 27, there was a record that the graves were open. There was earthquake. There was quakings. There was crittings. There was crackings in the ground. The earth was open. The grave was open. And the spirit of just men arose. They were relieved from that incarceration, from that imprisonment. Because by way of Jesus' death, it became a gate, a window, a portal by which they will ascend from the state of incarceration, from the state of imprisonment, by the power of him that had the power of death. When Jesus died, Jesus retrieved that power. Jesus retrieved the keys of hell and of death. Alright? You see, listen to me. It's not because God, by way of his power in heaven, will not be able to do that. Alright? But because God has delineated this environment to men. Alright? And so, if anything is going to happen here, it has to happen by way of men. Alright? So, in Psalms 115 verse 16, it says, the heavens, even the heavens is the Lord's, but the earth he has given to the sons of men. So, God himself couldn't do all of those things that Jesus came to do in mortal flesh as a spirit. Not because God is less powerful. No. But because God respects laws that he puts in place. Are you following me? It's not like our country. Don't mind me. Hallelujah. You know, those who enacted law are the lawbreakers. But God is not designed in that way. The design of God is justice, fairness, equity. Alright, so if God puts a law in a place, he also respects the law. Hallelujah. And that's why, as a spirit, God couldn't come here. God had to condescend so low to become man. And if God became man, alright, you should also understand that man is important in the agenda of God, because God didn't become animals. God became man. So Psalms 8 says that, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? So man is an important entity in the agenda of God. Man is an important being in the reality of God. When it comes to the operations of God at its vanguard, at its forefront, or at its peak, man is always employed. Are you following me? Oh God. Paradoxilim brates. Are we together? Thank you, Lord.
Rule over this temple. Rule over your church. Rule over and my generation. Rule over this temple. Rule over your church. Rule over and my generation.
All right. Thank you. So let's go ahead and continue.
Glory to Jesus.
Somebody say, I love God's word. I believe that people should not miss this amazing revelation of God's word. So I said to you that Jesus became, he identified with men so that he will die and bring men back into their order and restore men back into their ordination in God. Alright, so the Bible says, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Hallelujah. Verse 15. And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. God bless you all. Verse 16. For verily, glory to God. Aye. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Are you seeing this? Please open your heart. Open your heart unto the Lord. Hear what the Bible says. The Bible says, for verily, he took not on him the nature of angels. Ah! What is the nature of angels? Spirit. In Hebrews chapter 1, the Bible says to us that he made his angels spirit and his ministers the flames of fire. So, Jesus didn't take on the nature of spirits. Because the Bible says, for verily, he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. What does that mean? He took on the nature of man, so that you can trace Jesus back to the lineage of Abraham. Oh, Bane Sophia Kombe. If you get to Israel today, alright, in their historical facts, you can trace that Jesus came through the lineage of Abraham. And I can prove that to you from scriptures. Alright, I will show you two scriptures now. One that shows us how that Jesus was traced back to Adam. Alright? That even part of the ancestry of Jesus was Adam. Oh God. I remember I told you that Jesus had to come in the likeness of Adam. And by that I mean that he had to come in the likeness of man. Alright? Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Father. So the Bible says was that, for verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Why? Wherefore, in all things, it behoved him to be made like unto his brethren. Hi. That he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliations for the sins of the people. Hear this. The Bible says, wherefore in all things it behoved him to be made like unto his brethren. Who are his brethren? We are his brethren. That he might be a merciful and faithful high priest. That means if Jesus is not made like unto men, he will not be a faithful and merciful high priest. That means he is not merciful. That means he is unfaithful. Because the only way he will be faithful and merciful is that he is made like men. Because if man fell, man will restore the man that fell. Not angels. And so,
if Jesus will restore humanity, Jesus must become man. And that's when we know that he is faithful and he is also a merciful high priest. Hallelujah. Verse 18. The Bible says, for in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. What, are you getting this?
Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory to God.
Glory. For in that he himself had suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. What's that explain to us? That if you have been following our teaching, I've thought about Matthew chapter 4, the temptation of Jesus, and all of those things. If you also check Hebrews chapter 4, Hebrews chapter 4 made it so clear. It's so clear. Let me read that verse in Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Let's read verse 15. Hear what verse 15 says. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points, he was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He was in all points. That means every juncture, everywhere he got to, there was temptation. In fact, there was 40 days temptation before we began to see the account of the temptation that transpired again in Matthew chapter 4 and Luke chapter 4. For those following our teaching, I've talked about that. Alright, so Jesus, we have to identify with men so that the same way you'll be tempted of sin, he is also tempted. You know why? So that you will not have an excuse of living perfect. So that you not have an excuse of living righteously and holily. You know why? Because what you are going through, he went through it. So there's nothing you want to say to us that you are going through now that Jesus didn't go through for us. Alright? Everything, he went through it. One after the other. He could feel your pains. He could feel that you are lacking. He could feel all manner of things. Why? Because he was tempted at all points. And the reason why is because he'll be able to succor us. To succor means that he'll be able to aid us, help us, when we are in temptations. That's why 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13, there was something the scripture says in that place. The Bible says that there is no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. So there's nothing you are going through that is not common. Somebody said temptations are common. Temptations are common. That's what the Bible says. You know why it's common? Because our high priest went through it. So that he will be able to succor us, to aid us. Alright, so the Bible says, there are no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Hallelujah. Are you seeing this? I'm just trying to wrap up the teaching I started last week, because I don't like doing half teaching, so that everyone will understand my contemplation and will be able to follow suit. Hallelujah. Alright, so let me show you those scriptures where the genealogy of Jesus, because many don't know this. The genealogy of Jesus, was traced back to Adam. Hallelujah. So they are saying to us that Jesus also came in that likeness, in that genealogy of Adam. You know, the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they addressed some certain aspects of the life of Jesus. Alright, Matthew addressed Jesus as the sovereign king. Alright, sovereign king. Mark, his focus about Jesus is that he's the servant of all. Alright, Luke addressed the humanness or the humanity of Jesus. And John addressed the divinity of Jesus. Did you get that, everybody? Matthew addressed, or his focal point was that Jesus was a sovereign king. Alright, that's why in the book of Matthew you see the reality of kingdom. And in Mark, it was about Jesus as the servant of all. That's why Jesus says that I did not come to be served, but I came to serve. Alright? And in the book of Luke, the doctor, addressed the reality of Jesus' humanness or humanity, and John addressed his divinity. Alright, so we are going to check the account of Luke and see how Luke addressed the humanity. And he addressed that humanity by showing us the lineage, the genealogy of Jesus. Alright, so let's check Luke's Gospel. Os poveni hendra batostis. Paradikondis tombili vakratisten imbonga. Pedesh togo brehestan ambali kotila. Luke's Gospel chapter 3. Are we together, brethren? Luke Gospel chapter 3. We are going to begin from verse 23. We are going to do 23, and I will run down to my emphasis because it's a long genealogy. It's about the genealogy of Jesus. Alright, so but verse 23 will open us up to something, and we will jump to my emphasis. So verse 23, Luke 3, 23. And Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph, which was the son of Eli. Verse 24, which was the son of Matthat, which was the son of Levi, which was the son of Melchi, which was the son of Janna, which was the son of Joseph. Are you seeing the genealogy? He began to read the genealogy of Jesus. Okay? Now, let's rush down to my emphasis. So, let's do verse 37 and verse 38 of the same Luke chapter 3. Which was the son of Methuselah, which was the son of Enoch, which was the son of Jared, which was the son of Mahlalel, which was the son of Cainan, which was the son of Enos, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was the son of God. Are you seeing this? Oh! Brethren, are we together? Which was the son of Adam. So, are you seeing that Jesus had to identify with Adam because of the error that he perpetrated, because of the sin that he brought into the world? So, and because sin came through that dimension, Jesus had to identify with him. If he doesn't identify with the progenitor, the person who brought sin into the world, because the Bible says that by one man sin entered into the world, and that man is Adam. Alright? So Jesus also, by the account of Luke, showing us his lineage, his genealogy, Luke made us know that he came from the genealogy of Adam and ultimately God. Are you seeing how Jesus identified with humanity? How God loved us so much or so well that identified with men because of the issue of sin and the issue of that. Hallelujah. Alright, let me show us Matthew to also see how Jesus was referenced or was dated back to the genealogy of Abraham as well. Remember that Hebrews told us that he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on the nature of the seed of Abraham. Alright, so in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1, let's check genealogy again. It's also a long genealogy, but I'll just read verse 1 or thereabout. The book of the generation, that word generation there is the word genealogy. The book of the genealogy or generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. They said the word of God is complete. And God's words are yea and amen. Revelation chapter 5. And I will end with that. Then we go straight into Ephesians. Revelation chapter 5. Revelations 5. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside. I'm sorry, I will have to consult one other scripture. Sorry about that. Sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man. Are you seeing this? Are you seeing that the point of search here is about a man, not spirit, not angel? What they are looking for is actually a man. They are looking for a man. Let me read that again. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. Verse 5. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not, behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah. Please talk to me. Who is the lion of the tribe of Judah? That's Jesus. The lion of the tribe of Judah. The root of David has prevailed to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. So if Jesus prevailed to open the book and to loose the seals thereof, and what they are looking for is a man, that means for Jesus to have prevailed to open the book, he is a man. Hallelujah. Verse 7. Just think about that. Let's do verse 6 first. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth
into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them all harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us. Are you seeing that? To God by thy blood, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, by thy blood. Remember that he identified with flesh and blood in Hebrews chapter 2 that I showed you. So how did he redeem us? By his blood. Oh, thank you, Lord. By his blood. Hallelujah. Are we together? Let me know if you are following me. Light me, Lord. Light me, Lord. Light me, Lord. Like your candle. Light me, Lord. Light me, Lord. Let me burn like menorah. Alright. Alright. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So I was saying to us last week that Jesus was planted into the womb of Mary and he was born. And the same way that other Jewish boy learned scriptures, that they learned the word of God, Jesus also learned God's word. Jesus was given to constant studies of God's word. So a lot of persons think that God boycotted process. No, sir. Even over his son, he didn't truncate that process of learning. That process, Jesus learned his identity from the word of God. So God didn't boycott that process. Jesus learned. We read a scripture from the book of Luke last week. I'll read that scripture again and I will show you one more scripture. Luke chapter 2, from the same Luke. I'll show you one more scripture from the same Luke. Luke chapter 2. Verse 46. This is Jesus at his infant stage. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple. What was he doing in the temple? Sitting in the midst of the doctors. They are not doctors. They are not medical doctors. They are doctors of the law. They are those who are versed in the law. Alright? He sat in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. You are going to be imagining how that he will be hearing. That means he's learning. And also, he's also inquisitive. He was asking questions. Oh God. So it means that Jesus learned. I showed us from Isaiah 11. If you have not listened to the message, go back and do that from part 1 till now. Ensure that you go and listen to it. Okay? So Jesus had to learn his reality. Because when he became man, he, bec-
became man, and I told you that he's not a superman. Alright? He became man after the similitude of humanity. And so, he had to learn. He had to go to the temple the same way other kids will go to the temple, to learn the word of God, to read the word of God, to learn his reality. And every time he sees from God's word his reality, that day light will break. That this is talking about me. This is me. Oh, glory to God. This is me. He saw in Luke chapter 4, where it was written in the book of Esaias or Isaiah, that the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me. And Jesus says to them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your hearing. That was his reality. He found it. And he says, this day. I thought much about this in the last meeting. Don't let me go over it again. Go and listen to that message. Alright, let me show you the other verse I wanted to show us. Hear what the Bible says in the last verse of Luke. That same chapter. Luke chapter 2, verse 52. The Bible says, and Jesus increased in wisdom. Are you seeing this? How does a man increase in wisdom? By learning. He was increasing in wisdom and in stature. That means he was growing both by learning and also bodily. He was increased by learning the word of God. He grew by learning the word of God. God didn't boycott the process over his son. If God didn't boycott the process of death, that he permitted that his son dies, how much more learning? Are you following me? I wish many of us would understand the reality of the humanity of divinity. It's important. And it will help us to appreciate what Jesus did more. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. And in favor with God and man. Eh? So, he needed favor with God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Let me end here because we are going to delve into more and more scriptures if I try to open up this. Alright, but let's begin our Bible study. Glory to God. Let's begin our Bible study. Are we blessed already? Ephesians chapter 1. If you are with us on the platform, don't be silent. Let's know that you are part of us. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you, and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, this has been our contemplation. We are going to move further today. So you can make reference to our teaching, because I remember expounding a lot about this verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Okay? That verse 1 alone. I remember expounding a lot. I believe that when you go through it again and again, it's going to be a blessing to you. So make reference to it. Alright. So the Bible says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus. So I said to us that primarily this captures an immediate audience, and those were the Ephesians. Okay? But there was a further influence of this writing. And that's why it says that, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Okay? And to the faithful in Christ Jesus. So it means that every one of us in Christ Jesus, this has been written unto us. Okay? Even though it had a primary audience. Okay? But it's also a generic holy writ. It's general. It is also written for our learning, for instruction, for counsel in righteousness. Okay, so, the Bible says, grace be to you and peace from our God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. If you check the writings of Apostle Paul, he's accustomed with this kind of greeting. Alright, grace be to you and peace from God our Father from the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings and heavenly places in Christ. Hallelujah. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Alright. This is supposed to be well understood and articulated, brethren. Because we see Paul giving credence to an higher being. And he began to reference the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He called him first God. He said, blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The language of God means that God is the God of all, but is not the Father of all. Are you with me? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the God of all, but he is not the Father of all. And so we must understand this very clearly in our operations with our Father. Because the reality of fatherhood references relationship, references communion, references life. It means that we carry the DNA of God. Because he's not just our God, he's our Father. Because he's the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? So, Jesus has a Father. And there's also the reality of God. Are you paying attention? You remember very clearly that when Jesus was on his way to Golgotha, and he was beaten, was under the tyranny of this wicked empire, Jesus
underwent all manner of beatings, all manner of bastardization, all manner of shame, until eventually was hung on the cross. I'm sure you remember. And when Jesus was hung on the cross, at a point in time, Jesus said a very striking word that we must pay attention to. Very importantly, Jesus says, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani." Okay? "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani." And by way of interpretation, it means, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Amazing. We need to understand what transpired. I've taught some of our brethren before, but by way of repetition and revelation, I will also repeat that. Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Oh, Maskovia Taylor. Did you notice that Jesus didn't reference God on that cross as my Father, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus could only lay claim on the God dimension of the Father in heaven. And so all Jesus could utter, all Jesus could reference was my God. Jesus didn't say my Father. So listen, there's the revelation of God as a Father. And there's also the revelation of God as God. And that's why I said to us previously that though he is the God of all, is the God of sinners, is the God of prostitute, is the God of thieves, but he is not their Father. You know why? Because of relationship. So, the Bible says, for God so loved the world. It didn't say, for the Father so loved the world. For God so loved the world. So it means that God loves the sinner. He loves the smoker. He loves the prostitute. He loves the thieves. As God, he loves them. But there's a point they must get to, that relationship will now be birthed. And when they get to that point of relationship, we cannot begin to see them as the Son of God, because God is now their Father by way of acceptance of the finished work of Jesus. By way of transformation into a new life, alright, God can be acclaimed, or God can be referenced as Father. As Father. Are you following me? When they came to Jesus, the disciples of Jesus, and they said, "Teach us to pray." Notice that it was disciples who came to Jesus. Disciples. That means they have been separated from the world. They have been separated from carnality. They have been separated unto God. Alright? So, when they said to Jesus, "Teach us how to pray," Jesus didn't say, "Our God." Jesus says, "Our Father who art in heaven." Did you remember that? Our Father who art in heaven. Oh, glory. I'm sure, brethren, you are following me. Because I'm about showing you something powerful here. And so we must pay attention.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Okay? But when Jesus was hung on the cross, Jesus couldn't reference him as my father, why hast thou forsaken me? Because in the real sense, his father will not forsake him. Alright? But as God, Jesus says that, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You see, for the first time in the history, we saw that Jesus was forsaken. And why? Because he took on himself the sins of the whole world. And the eyes of the Lord, as the scripture says, are too pure to behold sin. So, at such point, Jesus could not lay claim on the fatherhood of God. So what he could best call him was my God, because the same way he is God to those who are sinners. Alright, when Jesus also took our sins upon himself, he was also the God of our Lord Jesus. Is it clear to us? He was the God. Jesus could not lay claim of the fatherhood because of the sin upon him. Thank you, Lord. There was separation between God and his son. And Jesus knew by himself that because of the weight of sin that I'm carrying, I cannot lay claim on this fatherhood. And he says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? So when Apostle Paul was writing here about, blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, he was not just writing for fun. It's because he's trying to show us the disparity between the office of God and the office of fatherhood. This is what a lot of persons have not come into. You see, God is the God of the herbalist, but is not the father of the herbalist. Why? Because they are not in relationship. As I am, I have my own biological son. I cannot lay claim on another son as my biological son. And another biological son of another father cannot lay claim on me as a biological father. Why? Because we don't have relationship. So fatherhood is birthed upon the platform of relationship. Relationship. That's why many persons don't really understand when we talk about all this concept of spiritual fatherhood, spiritual fatherism, and all of those things. They don't understand that if you are not in relationship with a man, you cannot claim that he's your covering. Relationship, it is very important.
Hallelujah, but that's not my point today. We are looking at blessed be God. Blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
So the Bible says to us that this God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ has blessed us with all. Somebody say all. With all spiritual blessings. And please mind that word. Spiritual blessings.
The Bible never captures, it never says, He has blessed us with all material blessings. Alright? And I'm not saying God doesn't bless with material blessings. Alright? I'm only saying that in this context, what is captured is spiritual blessings. Okay? Who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Alright. You see, if you read King James Version, the original version, the word places there is italicized. Alright. If you have a King James Bible, you can check that for us and confirm. The word places there is italicized. Like as I've always told us, according to laws of interpretation of scriptures and the laws guiding scriptures, that whatever word has been italicized, all right, is actually supplied. It's not there from the beginning. It was supplied. All right, so you can do it to confirm. It is italicized. Alright, beautiful. God bless you. Alright, so it means that this word was supplied. Blessed be the God of our and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Alright, so the word places there was supplied. So this is how some other versions will put it. Blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies. If you read some other versions, you will see it. Because they removed that places because it was supplied. Not there from the beginning. Alright? So, with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ. Or some will put it like in the heavenly realm in Christ. Hallelujah. Alright, the idea is not that there are no places in God. Alright, because what it captures is that in the heavenlies. Not just heavenlies. That means in its pluralities. So that means that if it is in its pluralities, there are still places. The point is that there are dimensions. That's my point. There are dimensions in God. There are layers. There are realms. Okay? And if we check other scriptures, I'm taking it slow because we are doing Bible study. If you check Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 6, you also see this. Ephesians 2 verse 6. Let's read that. And all right. Thank you for this version. NLT. Yeah. Verse 6. And hath raised us up together
and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The places there is also supplied because it is italicized. Ephesians 4:2. Ephesians 3:10. It's 3:10. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Are you seeing heavenly places again? Are you seeing that? We also do Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6 and verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. The places there is also italicized, supplied. Hallelujah. So those are the places that you will find places in the book of Ephesians. So the Bible says that he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies, in Christ. This means clearly that these blessings that is captured as in the heavenlies is in Christ. Hey. Are you getting this? Oh, bleak obes kobere hiati yaladosh. Because the scriptures clearly spelled it out that all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So the spiritual blessings that we are referencing is in Christ. So if the spiritual blessings is in Christ, that means Christ is the blessings. That means Christ is the blessings. So, invariably, what the Bible is saying that God has blessed us with is that God has blessed us with Christ, because it is in Christ that the blessings are. So Christ is the blessings. Oh, mercy here. You know, a lot of persons, we are looking for things here and there, things up and down, not knowing that what God has blessed us with is Christ. He has blessed us with the Son. Our inheritance is in the Son. He has blessed us with eternal life. He has blessed us with life everlasting. And so, there are no blessings apart from Christ. You see, I'm not referring to material possession or what have you. Alright? There's nothing wrong with material possession if it was God who designed it for you. Alright? But what I'm referencing here is scriptures. Is that the blessing is Christ. Christ's sponsor. Christ is the blessing. We have been blessed with Christ. So, if a man asks him, if a man asks this Christ, he has all. Hallelujah. Oh God. Blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him. In him. Are you saying that God is specific? According as he has chosen us in him. Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. So people don't get to see these blessings, as it were. The only way we get to see the blessings is in material possession, material prosperity. Alright? We don't see that the blessing is Christ. And that this blessing can be placed upon the handle of holiness. Oh, babe. Because the Bible says to us that according as he has chosen us in him, number one is that he has chosen us. Okay? Just like we're talking about God choosing Apostle Paul. Alright? So we were also chosen in God. We were chosen in him, in Christ. And that before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. We should be holy and without blame before him in love. So, the blessings in Christ can be placed upon the handle of holiness, because we have been chosen, we have been separated, we have been called out before the foundation of the world. So you are not in Christ by accident. Before the foundation of the world, we have been chosen, we have been separated unto him. And that's because he has designed us to be holy and without blame before him in love. So you see Apostle Paul saying in verse 1 or so, that to the saints which are at Ephesus. You see, the word saints there is not referring to high and lofty men who have passed on into glory, who are saints like Saint Peter and all. The believer, the one who is in Christ Jesus, is referenced with that designation of sainthood. That designation of saint is our reference. That you have been chosen, you have been called out, you have been separated as saint. And listen, if you have been designated as saint, you should also live as saint, because that's now your ordination. That's your design. Because you have been chosen, you have been called out, you have been chosen as a saint. Therefore, you ought also to live as a saint that you are. It is appalling that a saint is living as a sinner. A saint should not live as a sinner. because you have been called out from the kingdom of darkness into his marvelous light, and you were designated, your appellation, your name is that you are now a saint on the premise of your acceptance of Jesus. You are now a saint, therefore you should live as a saint that you are. You should not live as against your design, as against your ordination. So it says, he has chosen us according to his design before the foundation of the world, that we should live holy, that we should be holy and without blame before him, in love, before him, in love. We should be holy and without blame before him, in love. Let's consult few scriptures. Let's stay with Ephesians. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Pande costi boligasto simbeliates. Ibrogondon sipundiva cretale boko sita. Are you in Ephesians chapter 5? Alright, if you are there, I'm also there. We are going to begin from verse 26. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. This is the church. Are you aware of that? That, verse 27, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Are you seeing our ordination? That he might present it to himself as a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So, the way God designed that we live our lives as the believer is that we live the life that is holy and that is righteous fabricated. It's our ordination. So, we should not live contrary to what God designed, to what God installed in us, to what God incorporated into us as an infrastructure. This is our infrastructure, is our fabric, is our reality, that we should live. It's not a conjecture, it's not a guesswork, it's not maybe they should live holy, it's not trying to live holy. Alright? It is not struggling to live holy. The way God designed it is that we should be holy and without blemish. Because the church that is going to present to himself is the church without spot. And it is called a glorious church. A church that embodies glory. A church that has no spot. Not a church that has some spots. But a church that is without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. In 2 Timothy verse 2, chapter 2 or so, it says, nevertheless, the foundation of the Lord stands sure, having this seal: the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. You see, you have been sealed with a name, and it is the name of Christ. And one of the ways that we know that you have been sealed is that there must be a departure from the life that contradicts this ceiling, the life that contradicts this nature of holiness, there must be a departure. We are not trying to make it up. We are trying to live our reality. We are trying to live what God calls us. He calls us holy. He calls us saint. And therefore, we must live what the Lord conferred on us at new birth. Hallelujah. We must understand that the finished work of Jesus is supposed to be the beginning of our own work in Jesus. The finished work of Jesus is